RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by Voi Green and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Navy power and border patrol frequency increased. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked Indonesian Navy to cooperate with other countries. Transportation Ministry launches online licensing for flight personnel. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Adi Supandi said the power and patrol frequency of the Navy around the border area had been increased according to the vulnerability level. After opening the Western Pacific Naval Symposium in Padang, West Sumatra, Adi Supandi added, the increasing patrol was following the incidents in South China Sea and Sulawesi waters. The Navy Chief of Staff explained, threats against national sovereignty from the outside tend to come from the air and sea. This issue must become a concern because until now, there are still disputes on Indonesian border with neighboring countries, namely Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, and Timor-Leste. In accordance to the security commitment from the National Army Headquarters, Navy must be present through border and outermost island security operation, including exclusive economic zone. Admiral Adi Supandi further explained, the Western Pacific Naval Symposium, attended by 27 Navy of the West Pacific countries, also discussed the procedure related to the inter-Navy ships meeting in border areas to avoid armed conflict. The symposium is one of three main agendas of multilateral naval exercise Komodo 2016, centered in Padang, West Sumatra. It was an annual routine meeting of 27 highest naval officials in West Pacific held since 1988. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, while opening joint multilateral naval exercise Komodo 2016 in Padang Naval Base in West Sumatra on Tuesday, asked Indonesian Navy to strengthen cooperation with other countries' navy in Pacific and Indian Oceans. The cooperation is aimed at improving the human resources in humanitarian assistance military operation. President Joko Widodo also wanted Indonesian Navy to cooperate with all parties to raise the glory of the nation through marine development program.
To all personnel of Indonesian Navy, I respect. We have explored seas, bays and oceans. In fact, our future is there. The world maritime axis is there. Therefore, we all must work hard to awaken national marine culture, maintain marine resources, build marine connectivity, strengthen marine diplomacy, and build marine defense.
After opening joint multilateral naval exercise Komodo 2016, which will be held on April 12 to 16, President Joko Widodo, accompanied by Indonesian Military Chief of Command General Gatot Nurmantio, Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Adi Supandi, Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Rizal Ramli, Fisheries and Maritime Minister Susi Pujastuti, Cabinet Secretary Pramono Anung, as well as other Navy high officers of 32 participant countries inspected warships joining the exercises. Meanwhile, Admiral Adi Supandi explained that there are 49 warships joining the exercise. Indonesia deploys 29 warships. Other 20 warships come from Malaysia, Brunei Darussalam, Bangladesh, Japan, China, Vietnam, France, Australia, and the United States. The warship's parade is also enlivened by 100 fishermen ships to encourage program Let's Go to the Sea. The Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, with several ministries and state institutions in cooperation with the International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, have conducted the fifth OPSEN operation on January and February 2016. The OPSEN is a global operation under the coordination of Interpol that aims to identify and eradicate organized crime networks behind illegal food trade. Head of the Food and Drug Monitor Agency, Roy Sparinga, in a press conference on Tuesday, said this operation had successfully seized illegal food products with economic value amounted to 18 billion rupiah from 13 regions in Indonesia. The illegal food products consist of products with no distribution license, food products with hazardous materials, expired food products, and products which not meet the hygiene and sanitary requirements.
We will cooperate with the Ministry of Communication and Information Technology. BPOM is not anti-technology. We support it because the business is big and developing as long as there are rules for consumer protection. So it was difficult because Facebook, Twitter, and websites could be reopened. If they are closed, there they reopened. The transaction could be done without physical meeting. This is more difficult.
Roy Sparinga further explained, illegal foods harm not only the country's economy, but also have risk to public health because they are not examined by the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency. As a follow-up of the operation, the illegal food products have been seized for further legal action. The fifth OPSEN operations in Indonesia involve Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Industry, Trade Ministry, Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries, the National Police Headquarters, and the Directorate General of Customs and the Food and Drug Monitoring Agency as coordinator. 57 countries take part in the fifth OPSEN operation 2016, with Indonesia participating for the first time. Transportation Ministry of Indonesia on Wednesday launched online licensing for flight operator personnel specified for pilot, attendant, and flight operator service. According to the Air Transportation Director General of Transportation Ministry, Suprasetyo, the online licensing program will shorten the time for licensing issuance and renewal, even up to 80%. During the program launching at Transportation Ministry office, Suprasetyo explained the online system would provide the examination and graduation announcement for the flight personnel. Jakarta Fashion and Food Festival will be held again for the 13th time at Summarecon Shopping Center, Kelapa Gading, North Jakarta, on April 22nd to May 22nd, 2016. The festival is a cooperation result of Jakarta Provincial Government through the Jakarta Tourism and Culture Agency with PT Summarecon Agung. The Jakarta Fashion and Food Festival Chairman Sugianto Nagaria in the event's preview at the City Hall said there will be 100 small and medium enterprises with more than 200 menus in Kampung Tempo Dulu with old Chinatown decoration. The 2016 Food Festival themed various noodles of the archipelago. During the event, around 12 archipelagic example foods will be served, such as Bogor fried bean sprout, fried breadfruit Batagor Abui, 99 noodle, water spinach noodle, Ponorogo chicken satay, Cap Gomeh rice cake, Pukis cake, and many other Indonesian culinaries. Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi officially launched the 1,000 Sport Field Development Program, centered in Sukaluyu Village, Taman Sari Bogor Regency, West Java, on Wednesday, April 13th, which was marked by inscription stone signing. The 1,000 field development is a priority program of the ministry known as One Village, One Field program to be fulfilled in 2016. According to the minister, amidst the launching, the program goal is to provide real evidence of government involvement in developing Indonesia to encourage sport culture for a healthy life and to facilitate the youth in channeling their sport skills. Since the program was launched in 2015, there are at least 450 fields spread across Indonesia. The development is focused on the coastal area, the mountains, and underdeveloped villages. Besides for soccer, the developed fields will also be for volleyball, futsal, wall climbing, and badminton. The last item. Indonesian badminton athlete Jonathan Christie successfully secured a ticket into the second round after defeating Malaysian representative Zulfahdi Zulkifli in merely 31 minutes during the Singapore Super Series 2016, Wednesday, April 13, 21-14, 21-16. The 18-year-old athlete had been dominating since the beginning of the match without giving any chance for Zulkifli. The aggressive play by Jonathan Christie continued until the end of the second round. Zulkifli even seemed unable to fight at all until the end of the match. Finally, Jonathan successfully became Indonesian first men's single representative in the second round of Singapore Open Super Series 2016. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Navy power and border patrol frequency increased. Indonesian President Joko Widodo asked Indonesian Navy to cooperate with other countries. Transportation Ministry launches online licensing for flight personnel. That was the news.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, turn with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destinations in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's World Cultural Heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
A wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, here is commentary entitled G7 Foreign Ministers Meeting in Hiroshima. In the midst of various world crises, such as those in the Middle East, refugees heading for Europe, until the Panama Papers scandal, the foreign ministers of 7 industrialized countries met in Hiroshima, Japan, last Sunday and Monday, April 10th until 11th. They are from the United States, Britain, France, Germany, Japan, Italy and Canada, known as the G7. These countries called for a fight against terrorism. In a joint communique, the ministers declared terrorism has become a threat to global security that needs international cooperation and unified response to solve. The cooperation is in the form of data exchange on terrorism and tightening controls at the border and the overflow and source of funds. The raising of the issue was closely related to the attacks that took place in Paris, France, which is a member of the G7, followed by those in Brussels, Belgium. For the security issues in Europe, the G7 called on Russia to find a solution to the conflict in Ukraine. According to the G7, Russia has a strong influence on the separatist group involved in the conflict in the east of Ukraine. In addition to the problem of terrorism and regional security of Europe, the foreign ministers of the G7 also expressed their opposition of the provocations by the People's Republic of China in the East China Sea and the South China Sea. In both regions, China is in conflict with several neighboring countries, including Japan, which is also a member of G7. In the South China Sea, China is facing problems on the maritime border with the Philippines, Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam, and Taiwan. Especially for the Philippines-China conflict, the G7 advised them to pay attention to international maritime law and implement the decisions of the International Court, which will be announced in June. To strengthen its claim to the disputed territory, China has built reclamation islands in some reefs in South China Sea. The action has outraged Brunei, Malaysia, the Philippines, Vietnam and Taiwan, which are claiming the same area. The foreign ministers' meeting was in preparation for the G7 summit, to be held next month in Ise-shima, Japan. It seems that Japan had deliberately arranged the meeting to be held in Hiroshima, a city which was a target of the Allied atomic bombings during the World War II in 1945. And related to the atomic bombing, John Kerry was the first U.S. foreign minister who visited Hiroshima after the atomic bomb destroyed the city in 1945, and the city now has become a symbol of world peace. After the meeting of the foreign ministers in April, there were a series of G7 ministerial-level meetings on agriculture, information technology, energy, education, environment, science and technology, also finance and banking. Climax is the G7 summit next month. As a forum of big industrialized countries which are influential in the world, the ministerial meeting is expected to give an overview of global issues that will be discussed at the upcoming G7 summit. Indeed, to put an end to the conflicts that have been discussed in various forums cannot just rely on appeals. More concrete action by the leaders of the G7 in solving the problem of terrorism or regional conflicts should not only because they involve its members, but also other countries that are not the members yet affected. And listener, that was the commentary today.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with the birth of Garry Kasparov on April 13, 1963. Garry Kasparov was one of the most aggressive chess players of Russia. Even his name is associated with chess because of his unmatched talent and contribution for several chess theories. Kasparov, who was born in Baku, Azerbaijan on April 13, 1963, became the world junior champion in 1980. Even since December 1980 to February 1991, he was undefeated in single games. Kasparov, the Russian grandmaster, became the global best chess athlete in the 1985 to 2013 period. We move on to the beginning of civil war in Lebanon on April 13, 1975. On April 13, 1975, the civil war in Lebanon broke out due to the attacks by Palestinian Christian extremists against a bus which was carrying Palestinians and killed 30 among them. Because of this attack, the Lebanese Muslims and nationalists rose against the Palestinians. Later, the Palestinians retaliated against the Palestinian refugee camp in Lebanon. The civil war is provoked by Zionist regime with goal to distract the Lebanese and Palestinian Muslims from the regime. The civil war was ended in 1999 with a Taif Treaty signed by the conflicted parties. We end the segment of Today in History with the Soviet admitted the Katyn massacre. On April 13, 1990, the Soviet Union government officially admitted committing massacre in Katyn Forest, Poland, during the World War II. In 1939, the Poland was invaded by the Nazi from the west and Soviet from the east. Early 1940, around 5,000 police soldiers were pushed by the Soviets to the Katyn Forest, where they were killed and buried. At that time, the Soviet leaders denied their act and pointed the Nazi to be accused. During Gorbachev's reign, he tried to strengthen the relationship with the West, and one of the efforts was by opening the history of Soviet Union during World War II. Therefore, the Soviet Union officially confessed the Katyn massacre. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, welcome to Voigreen. Today's edition features the regional government ready to manage Gunung Sewu Geopark. The government of Gunung Kidul Regency, Yogyakarta Special Region, was preparing regulations after being selected to manage the Gunung Sewu Geopark, including the area of Pacitan, Wonogiri, and Wonosari. Gunung Sewu was named as Global Geopark by United Nations Educational, Scientific and Cultural Organization UNESCO on September 19, 2015. The Secretary of Gunung Kidul Region Supartono said the local government is currently studying the establishment of the Secretariat for the Pacitan Wonogiri Wonosari, abbreviated as Pawansari. Supartono added, the Pawansari Secretariat will facilitate the discussion between the governments of Gunung Kidul, Pacitan, and Wonogiri regarding to the Gunung Sewu Geopark management. He further explained, the Secretariat will move around the three regions every 3 years. Gunung Sewu itself is the most special karst in Java Island. The conical hills consisted of around 40,000 karst hills. The region stretches 85 km long with its 1,300 square kilometer limestone sediment. Gunung Sewu contains geological richness. One of them is cave. The longest cave in this area is Luang Jaran in Pacitan, reaching 25 km long, while the deepest cave is Luang Ngepoh, which is 200 meters long. Besides its special physical features, Gunung Sewu provides life for many creatures. The caves of Gunung Sewu houses various species of cave insects, fishes, and crustaceans. This area also provides water for the people in Gunung Kidul Regency from its river inside and bad guano for farming. Head of Gunung Kidul Culture and Tourism Product Development Body, Hari Sukmono, said, to include the Gunung Sewu Geopark, its body is ready to prepare the gate development on the west side. While the Regency government is preparing the former land of Patuk District to build tourism information center, including the information on Gunung Sewu. Hari said there are 13 geosites in Gunung Kidul to be visited. Later, there will be 4-story or around 12-meter high tower as a view post. That was Voy Green.
Listener, here is the headlines of several national newspapers published today, April 13, 2016. We begin the headlines with Media Indonesia, which wrote, City Council holds up developer obligation. The islands resulting from the reclamation in Jakarta Bay will be abandoned. This was because the Jakarta City Council, or DPRD DKI, officially stopped discussing the regional draft regulation on coastal zoning and on the North Jakarta Coast Spatial Planning. The decision to stop the discussion was made by nine factions in the City Council. Not only the developers, but also the Jakarta government and the people suffer from the stop discussion. This was stated by Jakarta Spatial Planning and Environment Deputy Governor Oswar Mungkasa. However, he added, there is still potential advantage with the stop discussions. The advantages, according to him, come from the developers which provide contribution to revitalize the northern region of Jakarta. Republika wrote, National Police ready to take responsibility. Responding to the autopsy result of Siono, a Klaten resident who died after taken by the National Police Counterterrorism Agency Densus 88, Indonesian National Police Chief General Badruddin Haiti stated his readiness to take responsibility if there is oddity in terrorism eradication. The autopsy result announced by Muhammadiyah and National Commission for Human Rights on April 11 stated, Siono never resisted the Densus 88 members as previously reported by the police. Siono died due to rib fracture. General Badruddin Haiti led a legal process against his subordinates who violated the law on Siono's death. He added, the Prevention and Security Division is currently processing the alleged procedure infringement. Later, the Muhammadiyah autopsy result will be matched with the current process by the division. Therefore, General Badruddin emphasized, the conclusion of the violation by Densus 88 member depends on the inspection result. Meanwhile, Tempo newspaper wrote, BPK chief demanded to resign. Supreme Audit Agency, or BPK chief, Hari Azhar Aziz, was highlighted since his name appeared on the client list of Mossack Fonseca, the law firm from Panama, which in the last 2 weeks became an international concern after the document was leaked. In the leaked document, also known as Panama Papers, Hari has Sengyue International Limited, a shell corporation in the British Virgin Islands. Therefore, the government transparency and anti-corruption activist and academician urged Hari explains the finding to the public. They also demanded Hari Azhar Aziz to resign from his position. Regarding the demand, Hari said establishing offshore company is forbidden only if aimed for tax evasion. He also claimed to have done nothing in their activities. Listener, we end the headlines with Kompas newspaper, which wrote, Trend Commuting Culture Rebuild. For many years, the people were made depending on private vehicles because of public transportation condition. While on the other side, the commuter train condition had just improved. Still, the culture to take the public transportation did not automatically come back despite of the improvements in the train management and double track development. Compass newspaper, which visited several cities crossed by the double rail track since several weeks ago, found that the businessmen, traders, and the people still had difficulties to back using the train again. When confirmed, several observers said that the train facility still needs much more improvement to build again the train commuting culture among the people. Listener, that was the headlines.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Navy Chief of Staff Admiral Ade Supandi said the power and patrol frequency of the Navy around the border area had been increased according to the vulnerability level. After opening the Western Pacific Naval Symposium in Padang, Ade Supandi added, the increasing patrol was following the incidents in South China Sea and Sulawesi Water. Indonesian President Joko Widodo, while opening Joint Multilateral Naval Exercise Komodo 2016 in Padang Naval Base on Tuesday, asked Indonesian Navy to strengthen cooperation with other countries' Navy in Pacific and Indian Oceans. The Food and Drug Monitoring Agency, with several ministries and state institutions, in cooperation with the International Criminal Police Organization Interpol, have conducted the fifth Absent Operation on January and February 2016. Transportation Ministry of Indonesia on Wednesday launched online licensing for flight operator personnel specified for pilot, attendant, and flight operator serviced. Jakarta Fashion and Food Festival will be held again for the 13th time at Summarecon Shopping Center, Kelapa Gading, North Jakarta, on April 22 to May 22, 2016. Youth and Sport Minister Imam Nahrawi officially launched the 1,000 Sport Field Development Program centered in Sukaluyu Village, Taman Sari Bogor Regency, West Java, which was marked by inscription stone signing. The 1,000 Field Development is a priority program of the ministry known as One Village, One Field program to be fulfilled in 2016. Indonesian badminton athlete Jonathan Christie successfully secured a ticket into the second round after defeating Malaysian representative Zul Fadi in merely 31 minutes during the Singapore Super Series 2016, Wednesday, April 13th, with a score 21-14, 21-16. That was News in Brief.
Open your eyes, open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing. And with the beauty of nature, among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our radio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. Stay tuned. Listeners, Indonesia is located between two oceans, namely Indian and Pacific Oceans, which make Indonesia has many beaches. Indonesia is also crossed by the equator, which makes this country rich in ultraviolet light and benefit for health when we take sunbath on the beach in the morning. Situation like this is loved by foreign tourists. One of Indonesia's islands, which is surrounded by beautiful beaches, is Lombok. Beautiful island with nickname 1000 Mosques has many beautiful beaches, among others Gili Trawangan, Senggigi, Nipah, and Ping. Ping or Tangsi Beach is one of favorite destinations of Lombok Island. It is located at Sekaro Village, East Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara. This beach is the same as the beach at Komodo National Park. To go to Ping Beach, it takes around 3.5 hours from central city of Mataram by using motorcycle. The street leading to the beach is twisty and it climbs down. Because signboard is not adequate in number, we suggest you to ask to local people in order not to get lost. Along the trip, the beach, you will see corn plantation and also green grass. Arriving at the Pink Beach, you will find two gates. At the first gate, there is no official, and the second gate, you have to buy entrance ticket. If you want to go around Pink Beach, you can rent boat. This beach has also beautiful spot to make a picture. If you are not tired, you can climb hill at the left of the beach. Over there, you will see Pink Beach clearly. The beach is called Pink Beach because when sunlight shines, reflection of light to sea water and sand unites with pink coral. So, pink color will be seen at a glance. If you want to go to Pink Beach, please do not forget to bring your own sunglasses and sunblock. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157, Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Listener, here is Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, introducing you Indonesian vocabulary and expressions as well as their use in conversation. Stay tuned. In today's edition, we would like to feature about the membuka rekening bank, or in English, opening bank account. And as usual, first I will say the Indonesian vocabulary and expressions related to our topic today. I will say them twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Membuka. Membuka. In English, to open. Rekening bank. Rekening bank. In English, bank account. Selamat pagi. Selamat pagi. In English, good morning. Mengambil. Mengambil. In English, to take. Nomor tunggu. Nomor tunggu. In English, queue number. Nomor 15. Nomor 15. In English, number 15. Loket 2. Loket 2. In English, counter 2. Membawa. Membawa. In English, to bring. Kartu identitas. Kartu identitas. In English, ID card. Surat izin mengemudi. Surat izin mengemudi. In English, driving license. Isi formulir. Isi formulir. In English, filling a form. sesuai dengan data. Sesuai dengan data. In English, according to data. Tanda pengenal Anda. Tanda pengenal Anda. In English, your ID. Now, here is a conversation example between clerk 1 or A, clerk 2 or B, and Aris or C. I will say them twice slowly, and of course, you can follow after me. A. Selamat pagi, silakan mengambil nomor tunggu. Selamat pagi, silakan mengambil nomor tunggu. In English, good morning, please take the key number. B. Nomor 15, silakan ke loket 2. Nomor 15, silakan ke loket 2. In English, number 15 to the counter 2 please. Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? Selamat pagi, ada yang bisa saya bantu? In English, good morning, what can I help? C. Saya ingin membuka rekening baru. Saya ingin membuka rekening baru. In English, I want to open a new account. B. Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? Apakah Anda membawa kartu identitas? In English, can I see your ID card? C. Maaf, saya tidak membawa kartu penduduk. Maaf, saya tidak membawa kartu penduduk. In English, I'm sorry I don't bring it. Apakah saya boleh menggunakan surat izin mengemudi? Apakah saya boleh menggunakan surat izin mengemudi? In English, how about my driving license? B. Oh, boleh. Oh, boleh. In English, it's okay. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada tanda pengenal Anda. Silakan isi formulir ini sesuai dengan data pada tanda pengenal Anda. In English, please fill this form according to the data on your license. C. Baik, terima kasih. Baik, terima kasih. In English, all right, thank you. Listener, that's the Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today, and we will meet again next week with other interesting topic. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia. Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we will present you to an Indonesian pop singer, namely Ari Kusmiran. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Cinta Pertama by Ari Kusmiran. Enjoy the song.
Ketika jumpa pertama denganmu, pandanganmu menusuk di jantungku. Inikah cinta pertama? Ku tatap wajahmu penuh harap, kau berikan senyum yang benar.
Marcus Miran is a singer who was popular in the 1970s era. The youngest of seven siblings from the parent, Gus Miran and Juana, was born in Sidoarjo, East Java on April 20, 1958. Ari Gus Miran began her career since she was in elementary school. In 1970, she won a pop singer competition for the level of East Java 3 years in a row. Since at the time, Ari Gus Miran began a work contract with Mutiara Recording Company and released the first album entitled Kenangan December. The success of Ari Gus Miran could not be separated from Indonesian talented composers Is Haryanto, Arianto, and Bartje van Houten. Listener, before we continue to know more about Ari Gus Miran, let's enjoy the next song entitled Kenangan December. Happy listening.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.